Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, September 16th. Last week, there were several developments in the recall efforts against lawmakers across the state. Capitol coverage had these stories about it. First, organizers came up short in their effort to remove Governor Jared Polis.
Standing in front of large plastic tubs full of signed recall petitions at the Capitol, leaders of the recall effort said they failed to get the 631,000 signatures needed to put Polis' fate on the ballot. Lauren Boebert supported the effort to remove Polis. She made a three-hour drive from Rifle to hear the news.
Of course, this is heartbreaking, but I would never consider this a failure. There are so many people that jumped on board that would have never stood up and voiced their opinions before.
In a statement, Polis called the recall effort a sideshow, and he hopes the other pending recall efforts against Democratic lawmakers reach the same result. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
Two more Colorado Democrats have survived recall efforts. The groups trying to remove State Senators Pete Lee and Brittany Pedersen from office told the Secretary of State they won't be turning in the signatures needed for the recall. The announcement comes less than a week after more residents who were trying to recall Governor Jared Polis also failed to gather enough signatures. Backers of the recalls disagree with the legislature's recent passage of new oil and gas reforms and a gun control measure. But Morgan Carroll, the chair of the state's Democratic Party, says the recalls are a sham being carried out by, quote, sore losers. A recall effort remains underway for State Senate President Leroy Garcia. The deadline for backers to turn in signatures is October 18th. And after the recall efforts failed, state lawmakers on both sides of the aisle want to make it harder for residents to remove their representatives from office.
Republican Senator Jack Tate says recalls can be disruptive and costly to taxpayers, so he wants to prohibit recall activities when the legislature is in session. He also wants recall supporters to let taxpayers know how much an election would cost them.
With the fact that we're looking at more recalls, it's a time to kind of reflect on the details of our statutory environment by which we might be able to make things better.
Meanwhile, Democrats are also calling for reforms during a summer when five of their lawmakers and the governor have been targeted by recalls. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
From Capitol coverage, transit authorities are encouraging drivers to prepare for winter conditions early by making sure they're equipped for new vehicle traction laws. The law requires vehicles to have a minimum tire tread of 3/16 of an inch for 127 miles of I-70. Colorado Department of Transportation's spokesman, Andy Hogel, says the most important thing is making sure vehicles have the technology to drive safely in the winter.
You know, we can't always account for the drivers themselves, but if we can keep people on the right kind of tread, the right kind of tires, that we're hoping to, you know, reduce accidents and reduce fatalities.
Hogel says drivers can face fines up to $500 for driving without proper tire tread or chains when traction laws are in effect. The new law requires proper traction from September 1st until May 31st. Governor Jared Polis has created another Office of State Government. As KVNF's Scott Franz reports, this one will help workers adapt to a changing job market.
Surrounded by a bipartisan group of lawmakers at a technical school in Denver, Polis acknowledged that high school diplomas are no longer tickets to good middle-class jobs. He says the Office of Future of Work will help prepare residents for jobs in a world that is increasingly turning to automation and temporary positions. It's the second office Polis has created this year to address an issue. His first was the Office of Saving People Money on Healthcare. Democratic State Senator Nancy Todd is a fan of the trend.
Governor Polis is a mover shaker, and he looks at things in a non-conventional way, and that to me is a benefit.
The governor's office didn't immediately provide the cost of the new office. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
The field of Democrats hoping to unseat U.S. Senator Cory Gardner continues to shrink. John Walsh, Colorado's former U.S. attorney, dropped out and endorsed former Governor John Hickenlooper. Walsh is the second Democrat to quit this month because of Hickenlooper's entrance into the race. Former state senator Mike Johnston bowed out, saying he wanted to avoid a negative primary campaign. There are still 10 candidates left in the Democratic primary, including former Colorado House Speaker Andrew Romanoff and State Senator Angela Williams. Colorado is poised to get a new state park. As KVNF's Scott Franz reports, the new recreational area will include an iconic mountain peak and lots of wildlife in southern Colorado.
Fisher's Peak near Trinidad was privately owned and off-limits, but the state and conservation groups are teaming up to purchase the land and turn it into Colorado's 42nd state park. Governor Jared Polis says tourists from all over the country will visit to hike and take in the views, but it's not just for the humans.
This newly established area helps connect the grasslands to the east with the foothills and mountains to the west. Very important corridor for the movement of wildlife, including elk and mule deer and white-tailed deer.
Polis says a visitor center and campgrounds will be constructed in the area. He hopes the new park is open by January 2021. I'm Scott Franz.
A ceremony last Monday at Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado Springs marked the official reopening of the U.S. Space Command. From the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange, KRCC's Andrea Chalfin has more.
General Joseph Dunford, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was on hand to mark the occasion. Dunford said that space has become a contested domain, and the new command is a necessary step to be able to compete and fight and win on the battlefield. He called it a new Sputnik moment.
And you could argue that the stakes are much higher than they were in the late 1950s and early 1960s. The reestablishment of Space Command should be understood as part of a broader effort to maintain our nation's competitive advantage in space.
The initial headquarters of Space Command is at Peterson Air Force Base, which is home to the 21st Space Wing. That unit has long provided other space operations, including missile defense warning systems. I'm Andrea Chalfin.
And finally today, from the Delta County Independent, the Delta Police Department lost one of its own last week when Delta Police Sergeant R. Dean Young died at his home while working off duty. A 19-year veteran of the police department, Young is remembered as a mentor, teacher, husband, father, brother, and friend. The department said Young selflessly served the Delta community and spent a great deal of time in its schools. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, September 16th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.